used to.
I have been full up on these issues. Yours was like the.
And it'll come around again. If it's asked once, it'll get asked again. To know.
It'll be difficult for you, Doug.
I'm so bad. Heck, you're kind of like comparing to that.
Yeah.
This meeting to order, Camp Bow meeting for Wednesday, October 11th. Kathy, can I get roll call, please?
Chairperson Kimbrough.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Bonkowski.
Here.
Member Bagwell.
Here.
Member Erb.
Here.
Member Hastings. Member Smolensky.
Here.
Member Zentino.
Here.
Ex officio Member Rosenberg.
Here.
The quorum is present.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is, Chair may take items on the agenda out of order. I have nothing planned. Does staff have anything to change on the agenda?
No changes.
Great, thank you. Next on the agenda is disclosures. Any members of the Campo Board have to recuse themselves on any item on the agenda tonight? This afternoon? Seeing none, we moved on there. Now we're at public comment. This is for a chance for the public to make comment on any item probably not on the agenda, but you can still speak on agenda items. This is your chance to come to the mic, speak to any item. Anybody in the audience like to come up? For public comment? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the committee. Approval of the minutes is next for the September 13th meeting. Do I have any changes or a motion?
I move to approve the minutes of September 13, 2017 as presented.
Second.
Do any discussion? Probably not. Seeing no discussion, call for the question. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries unanimous. Oh, we have one abstain because we weren't here for that. Thank you. So we move to, let's see, action on approval. We move to public meeting 6A. informational. Update on Campo's fiscal year 2017-18 Unified Planning Work Program, the UPWP Transit Rider Preference Survey. Is it Graham?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Staff has developed a transit rider preference survey to capture public perception on the system's performance and their thoughts on how to improve the service. The task is in the current Unified Planning Work Program, the results of which will be incorporated into a future planning document anticipated in the next UPWP cycle. The total cost of this task is $10,000, made up of 9,500 federal and 500 local shares. Two surveys have been developed, one for each service type. They're included in the packet. Staff has also begun work with a staffing agency for the employment of the survey takers. Survey takers will be dispatched to fixed route vehicles only, and current paratransit bus drivers will be used for the paratransit survey. To ensure that they're not leading the answers provided by respondents, survey takers will only be allowed to provide objective, clarifying details about the survey questions. They may not insert their personal bias with the assistance that they provide to the respondents. With that, I'll take any questions.
Just a question in general. When I read through this survey, and I understand why it's aimed at the current riders, do we ever do a survey in the community to determine why people aren't utilizing JAC? You know, and outside riders, just as a question.
We have not done that in the past, but that's a good suggestion. The methods by which we were planning to, roll out this survey were direct contact with riders and posting it on the JAC site, so it's, just the easiest forum for
just
for
that. Just a thought, the city sometimes does surveys or something, because I'm kind of a little more interested in also, why don't you ride JAC, or what would we need to do to make it more appealing for you to ride JAC?
Thank you.
Any other questions? I was glad to hear you say how you. I had a horror story with state parks and hiring people to do surveys. How they have a tendency to want to help people fill out the form, and we had a real bad story. Ended up throwing the study out. So it's good you do that, because it really takes some training, because it becomes easy for people who are interviewing to be involved with the process, and they think they're doing good. So that's good to do, because they're not easy to do that sometimes. So clipboards and pencils and alternatives is nice to encourage people. It would be nice if you had like a key fob or some little thing that said thank you for taking the survey like you do when you vote or something. Encourage them to take those surveys, because I was this effort on your part, or was it something that was required from someone?
We do a regular short range transit planning document, so this will feed into that. It's just part of the scoping process for future outlooks on the transit system.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's really important to have that background before you set budgets and stuff for what it's all about. So. Go ahead.
Graham, on the first survey, the fixed route, you have the question, considering adding electronic fare options. Is there any associated costs with putting those or implementing that, if there is a great demand for it?
Yes, there's certainly a cost. We've looked into a few different options, as some... They vary in range of costs, which is why we want to try to gauge the appetite for implementing such measures to see what level, what degree of implementation we might go after for electronic fare collection.
Anybody from the audience want to come and speak to this agenda item? Seeing none, I bring it back. It's informational only, so there's no action on that item. We move to 6B. To approve a set of performance targets as it relates to the Transit Asset Management Plan under the requirements of the Federal Transit Administrator's Transit Asset Management Final Rule.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So recent transportation bills have created a shift towards performance-based planning. And while a full transit asset management plan document is not required or does not need to be adopted until October of 2018, a set of performance targets, which were originally established for fiscal year 2017, must be updated annually. These targets must be set for capital assets used in the provision of transit service. And so performance targets must be established for assets in each asset class. Campo has capital replacement responsibility for assets in the rolling stock and facilities asset classes. The FTA, I'll just clarify, rolling stock is vehicles, basically the buses used by JAC, and facilities include maintenance or admin buildings. So the FTA has established methods by which assets may be assessed using age for rolling stock and condition for facilities. A performance target is being proposed for each relevant asset class based on the FTA's guidelines. A performance target of 20% is recommended for rolling stock, since it is forecast that 20% of Jump Around Carson vehicles will have met their FTA-defined useful life benchmark or acceptable age by the end of fiscal year 2018. A performance target of 0% is recommended for the facilities asset class, since it is forecast that both of JAC's facilities will still be in at least adequate condition by the end of fiscal year 2018. The FTA does provide some latitude on how agencies may rate their assets. For example, Campo could decide to use a useful life benchmark other than that of the FTA's default values, which is being proposed here, using local conditions as the basis for adjusting those numbers in either direction. However, staff recommends using FTA's defaults for efficiencies and compliance. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Any questions? Like conditions like Tahoe driving in the snow half of the year and stuff like that.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. No questions from here, so I'll take it out. Anybody in the audience want to come forward and speak to this item? If not, I bring it back to the commission for a motion.
I move to approve a set of performance targets as it relates to the Transit Asset Management Plan under the requirements of the Federal Transit Administration's Transit Asset Management Final Rule.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second from John. Any more discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Goes unanimous. Thank you. Now, 6C for possible action. To approve the expenditure of $66,790 to be funded from the Campo Unified Planning Work Program, UPWP, account, and to recommend approval of contract number 1718-064, fiscal year 18, Carson City Pavement Management Services to Dyne Attest North America Incorporated, for a total not to exceed $66,790 to the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission. Lucia?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah. Lucia Maloney. So the last pavement survey that the city conducted was in late 2014. You know, the last winter was pretty heavy, and we're due for some new data. So that's what we're talking about here. A formal RFP was released on August 10th, and proposals were accepted through August 24th. The project does consist of a pavement survey of 285 center lane miles of roadways within Carson City. And the deliverables that we asked for included network referencing, GIS linkages, a method to QA and QC the data, and coordination and delivery of the data to both Carson City, as well as our consultant, the University of Nevada, Reno, in a method compatible with MicroPaver, which is the pavement management software that we use. The pavement management survey, or the pavement survey, is to be conducted in October and November, so we'll be turning it around really quickly here. We did receive six proposals from qualified consultants, of which two firms were selected for interviews. Interviews were conducted on September 13th. The proposal evaluation panel consisted of two members of Carson City staff, myself and Mr. Goring here, as well as Dr. Hodge from University of Nevada, Reno, who provided some additional technical expertise and perspective from that regard. Proposals were evaluated against four evaluation criteria, which were contained in the RFP. These are project experience, the project manager, technical capacity, as well as the project approach. Proposals were, in general, very close. They were all really well done. And so we had to get into some details to really differentiate between the approaches and the firms that were proposing. After interviews, as well as reference checks of those that proposed, Campo staff is recommending execution of the contract to Dynatest North America, Inc., in the amount of $66,790. If you remember from last month, Campo made a motion to approve moving $30,000 from the ADA transition plan task over to the pavement management services task. So with that approval, the contract amount is budgeted under the task 3.2 and the UPWP, which is maintain pavement management system. The required 5% local match on this contract is $3,340, which will be funded from the Campo EPWP account. So tonight, Campo is being asked to approve the expenditure of the funds because it is the Campo account, and to recommend approval of the contract to RTC. This item will be heard by RTC later. I'll spare you the same presentation, those that are on that board. But Campo will recommend, that recommendation will go to RTC in just a few minutes here. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Thank you.
Questions? Staff?
So this is Campo money going to the RTC. Is this function also available to the other RTCs that are within Campo for the areas, the Campo areas, to where Campo will go out on the RFP, do the contract and everything?
We have spoken with some of our other jurisdictions, and I know Douglas County does their own pavement management kind of system, but it's something we could certainly discuss.
That's correct. We do have our own, and we've been doing it in-house, but we're short on staff, and if this is an option that's available to us, we would definitely be interested.
Is UNR on there, were they like a CMAR or something, or are they already on contract, so they'll take that? I saw that they're going to give the data to UNR, and then you get the data. So
that's a great question. Now, we maintain a contract with UNR, and they maintain our paver software and our database for us. So we have ongoing relationships with them when we're considering pavement maintenance projects. They help us look at the data and evaluate to make sure that we're efficiently and appropriately expending our funds on the best project areas.
Now, I thought they had their own van. I thought we were told that once, that they had a vehicle that they were doing the roads with, because we had a picture of it. So maybe it was a contractor working for you. Okay, I was confused. So I love that they can go up to 60 mile an hour and do that job. That's a pretty unique system with cameras to pick up that level of detail on the roadways at 60 mile an hour down the road. That's pretty cool.
It is, and if I may add, one of the differentiators for Dynatest versus some of the other firms that proposed is they're integrating a new kind of 3D LIDAR survey software technique. It's frankly above my head, but we talked about those things. Dr. Hodge was really interested in the new technology. Dynatest did also propose some additional value add components. They'll be providing right away survey information as well as some roughness data that we haven't received before. So staff are really excited to see what we get this time.
Great, thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, go out. If anybody in the public want to speak to this item on the agenda? Seeing none, bring it back to the commission for comments or a motion.
Hi, Commission. I move to approve the expenditure of $66,790 to be funded from the Campo Unified Planning Work Program account and to recommend approval of contract number 1718-064, fiscal year 18, Carson City Pavement Management Services to Dynatest North America, Inc., for a total not to exceed amount of $66,790 to the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries unanimous.
Thank you.
6D. For possible action, to formally support Carson City's pursuit for a grant with the U.S. Department of Transportation for Transportation Investment Generating Economic Recovery, TIGER, discretionary grant funding for the South Carson Street Complete Streets Project, and to authorize the chair to sign a letter of support. Lucia, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Public Works Department is seeking CAMPO's formal support of this grant application for this TIGER grant funding. We presented this item at the Board of Supervisors last Wednesday, October 5th, where the board unanimously approved pursuit of the grant opportunity. So what is this project? The 2017 TIGER grant funding is awarded on a competitive basis. This year they're giving special consideration to projects which emphasize improved access to reliable, safe, affordable transportation, specifically in rural communities, such as Carson City. Trivia fact, although we are not considered a rural community for this specific grant application, we are the smallest metropolitan statistical area in the country, so we are highlighting that in our application. So we're proposing for the South Carson Complete Streets Corridor Project, which will drive economic growth and investment directly into the heart of our capital. As you are aware, the city is investing over $10 million in local funding for the southernmost two-mile portion of the project from Roland Drive up to up to Fairview Drive. However, the portion from Fairview Drive connecting to 5th Street, which connects to the recently completed downtown Complete Streets project, that piece remains unfunded. So acquiring TIGER grant funding for this final portion of the corridor builds upon those previous investments and really leverages our local investment into our downtown. The TIGER discretionary grant program is one of the most competitive infrastructure grant programs in the country. Last year, there were roughly 550 applicants, of which roughly 40 were awarded. Because these funds are so critical in completing this full corridor from downtown all the way to the interchange, and because there's been some indication by the administration that these funds may not come around again, the city has contracted with WSP, which is formerly Parsons Brinckerhoff, to assist us and help us develop the most competitive grant package possible. We're putting everything into this. At the staff level, it's been all hands on deck, pulling together the information to get this package out, getting WSP all they need to really give us a winning proposal. The turnaround this time was only, I believe it was less than 30 days, so applications are scheduled to be uploaded to the website. We're targeting for Friday, but they're due on Monday. We've reached out and been successful at getting support letters from local advocacy groups, Muscle Powered, all the way up to the governor. So we're really excited to do this. I'm happy to answer any questions and appreciate CAMPO's support.
Any questions?
Just a comment. I just want to express NDOT support for this application. It is a very competitive grant process. We actually don't submit on this grant. There's another one called Infra that's more freight-focused, but because we have seen that there's been a favor for multimodal-type projects, Complete Streets, NDOT's big freeway things just don't compete, so we're happy to support our MPO partners when they apply for something like this. We do think it's a good project. It'll be competitive. It's enough, we don't know, but we were happy to sign a letter of support to give to Lucia today. So.
Lucia, is there a specified amount that you're submitting for, or do you submit an application and then you get awarded an amount based on the scoring of the application?
Yes, sir. Thank you for bringing that up. So the full project, we had some estimates done by Kimley Horn as part of that corridor study that was brought forward this summer. Our engineers then looked at those estimates, and we've refined them a little bit. Right now, the current project cost estimated from the interchange all the way up to Fifth Street is roughly $19 million. So the city's bringing, it comes out to, I think, just over 11 right now, $11 million, and so we're asking for roughly 8. So that brings us to about a 60% match. We're only required to provide a 20% match, and so we're hoping that that helps make us competitive.
Any other questions?
So then it would just be one project is what you're actually saying from Roland all the way to Fifth if we're successful with the Tiger Grant.
That's correct. And so the risk of the match, if we don't get the funding, we'll continue to expend the local money on the southern portion as planned.
Any other questions? Could you tell me that little bit of trivia again? We're the smallest...
Apparently, I've learned, we are the smallest metropolitan statistical area, this urban area categorization, which is used for the Tiger Grant funding in the country. So Tiger considered us urban,
right,
but we're the smallest one.
Hopefully that gives us points. Yes.
We hope so. We're highlighting it heavily.
So I'll take this to the audience. Anybody here want to speak to this item on the agenda? Seeing none, I bring it back to the... I don't know if you're a commission or organization, I guess, for a motion or any other comments? Ms. Port, Brad's going to have to make all the motions.
I'll make the motion. Okay. I move to formally support Carson City's pursuit for a grant with the U.S. Department of Transportation for transportation investment generating economic recovery discretionary grant funding for the South Carson Street Complete Streets Project and to authorize the chair to sign a letter of support.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Jim. Any more discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries unanimous. That takes care of the action items on the agenda. Next on the agenda is any internal communications and administrative matters, such as the future agenda items.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When I was brought in here and I did my interviews with Darren and Mr. Morano, and I was terrified and shaking in my boots, one of the things I highlighted is my passion for data and performance measures and performance-driven decision-making. So CAMPO next month, we'll see a presentation from two of our staff, one from Mr. Dollarhide and another from Ms. Lang. We'll be providing information about our monitoring and performance measures that we look at continuously all year long, both for transit and for non-transit. We've recently received questions about, you know, on South Carson, now that the freeway is open, how is the traffic? Did it really go down 40%? So we're looking at some traffic volumes data that we'll bring to you. We've also recently started implementing bicycle and pedestrian counters, so we'll bring you an update on how that's going as well. So that's on the list for next month.
Next is board comments. I'll start on the right. Informational only, obviously. So, Sandra, anything?
I'm happy to report that our STIP was approved by the feds. So our board recommended approval last month. It was approved before the start of the federal fiscal year. Good job, Joseph Spencer. So we have everything in place to spend money this year. We're very happy about that. And as I mentioned last month, this will be my last board meeting for a couple months for obvious reasons. Kevin Vary is your point of contact at NDOT. And of course, you can go and talk to whoever you feel comfortable with. But I know Lucia and Kevin have been working together closely on Tiger and other items. So I have full confidence that they'll continue to be productive while I'm out for a couple months. And look forward to seeing you guys in January-ish.
Anything else? Anything, Jim? Nothing from Brad. Lauren, nothing. Jack, nothing. I think I know the next thing on the agenda. Oh, public comment. This is the last chance for public comment for any item that people want to bring in front of the board. Nobody's coming forward. So the next meeting is scheduled November 8th here in the Sierra Room, and then I'll call for somebody for motion for adjournment.
So moved.
So we are adjourned officially, and we'll be back at 5 o'clock with RTC. Thank you.
I'll let you off with a warning this time.
I'll do better next time.
fails.
Okay, good.
I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission. Today is October 11th, 2017. We are in the Community Center Sierra Room at 851 East William Street. Can we have a roll call, please, Kathy?
Chairperson Bonkowski.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Smolenski.
Here.
Mr. Bagwell.
Here.
Mr. Kimbrough.
Here.
Mr. Zentino.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you, Kathy. Item two on the agenda tonight is the agenda management notice. The chair may take any items on the agenda out of order, combine two or more agenda items for consideration, and or remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item on the agenda at any time. Item three on the agenda, disclosures. Any member of the RTC board may inform the chair of his or her intent to make a disclosure of a conflict of interest on any item appearing on the agenda or on any matter relating to the RTC's official business. Such disclosures can be made now, or they can be made prior to the agenda item being introduced or immediately thereafter. Item four, public comment. Anybody in the public that would like to comment? We will have public comment for each item on the agenda. If you have comments on something that's not on one of the agenda items, I would invite you to come up at this time and speak. And I see nobody approaching, so we will move on to agenda item number five, approval of the minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of September 13, 2017 with a correction from Vice Chairman Bonkowski to Smolenski.
Yeah. I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Passes unanimously. We're on to item six, the first action item, 6A, for possible action to approve amendment number one to contract number 1718-046, South Carson Street survey to Loomis & Associates for an additional $26,560 for a total not to exceed amount of $114,510 to be funded from the RTC account. And I have a disclosure on this item, NRS 281A. 0.420 requires me to disclose a conflict of interest and abstain from participating when I have a disqualifying conflict. In my private capacity, I am a partner in the real estate brokerage firm NAI Alliance Carson City. Loomis Engineering is a client of NAI Alliance. Because of NAI's relationship with Loomis, is a substantial and continuing business relationship, a reasonable person in my position would be materially affected by this relationship. Therefore, I have a disqualifying conflict, so I will not participate on this matter and will abstain from voting and will turn the gavel over to the vice chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dan, is you going to bring this forward?
Yeah, I'll bring it forward. Dan Starkey, city engineer for the record. I'd like to make a correction to the agenda title. It refers to this contract being funded by the RTC account. That is incorrect. It is actually coming from the infrastructure tax account. I did discuss this with legal today, this correction, Mr. Yu, and he was good with, as long as we make the correction on the record, he was good with moving forward. So this is to amend a current contract with Loomis & Associates, as you discussed, for an amount of around, I guess, $26,560. When this contract was first approved at the August RTC, at that point, we were focusing our design efforts on the section from Fairview on down south to Roland Street. Since then, as Lucia discussed, we're pursuing some funding opportunities, including the Tiger Grant. So we've decided to expand our scope on our design. So now we're going all the way up to Fifth Street. And so with that, we have expanded our survey scope as well. And so that's the reason for this amendment. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the summary there.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from commissioners? Any questions or comments from the public? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move to approve amendment number one to contract number 1718-046 South Carson Street Survey to Loomis and Associates for an additional $26,560 for a total not to exceed $114,510 to be funded from the infrastructure fund as outlined in the Loomis letter dated September 7 and labeled Addendum 1.
Thank you. You've heard the motion read. Is there a second?
A second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, call for the question. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And one abstention. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. We are now on to item 6B of the agenda for possible action to approve contract number 1718-064, fiscal year 2018 Carson City Pavement Management Services to Dynatest North America, Inc., for a total not to exceed amount of $66,790 to be funded from the Campo Unified Planning Work Program account. We all heard the presentation on this during the Campo meeting that preceded this meeting. So, Lucia, if you want to go through this quickly, we'll take this on.
Sure. You don't want to hear it again?
Only if you'd like to say it again.
No, sir. So, about half hour ago, the Campo met and discussed this. Campo did unanimously approve to expend this funding from the Campo account, and they recommended approval by RTC to execute this contract. I'm happy to take any questions if you have them.
Any questions from the commissioners? Seeing none, any public comment? I see no public comment, so I will entertain a motion.
I move to approve contract number 1718-064, fiscal year 18, Carson City Pavement Management Services to Dynatest North America, Inc., for a total not to exceed amount of $66,790 to be funded from the Campo Unified Planning Work Program account.
We have a motion and we have a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Okay, passes unanimously. We are on to item 6C on the agenda. To accept the donation of permanent easements and right-of-way for the roadway and associated improvements needed for the construction and maintenance of Sierra Vista Lane as part of the Federal Lands Access Program grant project from Kathy A. Martin, Kaminsky Fitzgerald Family 2002 Trust, Bruce A. Miller, Randy W. and Lisa G. F. Jones, Brandon Revocable Trust, and Roger G. and Diana L. Preston. And Dirk, you're going to take this?
Thanks, sir. Staff is happy to present this item. But before I get into the right-of-way document details, I wanted to provide a little update on the project. So for Sierra Vista Lane, the flat grant project, we recently accepted and approved 100% design, which is really exciting. As many of you know, the existing easements and the existing roadway don't match up. So in order for us to move forward into construction, we needed to secure right away. However, we couldn't secure right away and get documentation furnished until we had 100% design. So this is why we're kind of this late into the project and now asking for approval on right away. So BIA, as many of you know, we've submitted, we had an appraisal done for BIA property that's been completed and accepted by BIA, which is very exciting. So they are in the final review of the right-of-way application. BLM is also in the final review. They are wrapping up some environmental documentation, and then once that's completed, we should be hopefully receiving approval from BLM. Both BIA and BLM are anticipated to be brought to the November RTC for acceptance by the commission. So related to private property in this item, there's a total of 8 private properties. Right now we're asking the RTC to accept easements for 6 of the 8 properties. And there's the right-of-way documentation has been provided in the report, so I'm not going to get into all those details. The two remainder properties, we are in active communication. We're pursuing those the documentation, and they're progressing, and we anticipate bringing those two private property right-of-way documents to the November RTC. So that really concludes my comments in the summary, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Do the offers of compensation for the BIA allotment owners, do those have to be accepted before we can move forward, or is that part of the BIA approval process that should be completed by the November meeting?
That is going to be determined by the BIA, and we don't, the payout doesn't have to happen before we get the right-of-way documentation. So there's an element of that that's going to continue, but we should hopefully get approval prior to that concluding.
So is there anything that you see at this point that could hold up the beginning of construction in early spring?
No. I spoke with our project manager with Central Federal Lands today, and everything's getting wrapped up, and we plan on putting the project out to bid in December still.
Hopefully that will make some members of the audience happy, and they will have a chance to tell me in just a few minutes. Are there any questions from the commissioners?
So just more in general for me is, when I'm looking at all of these right-of-ways and everything, why would I not wait until we just approved all of them at the same time to ensure that we had a viable project? I'm a little leery of accepting roadway for the city, and then if something does fall, for whatever reason, one of these other right-of-ways does not happen, we've already accepted these right-of-ways. So just timing question for me is, why would we vote on this and not hold it to the November and do them all at once?
Very good question. And we actually talked about this at staff level. And as you may have noticed, one of the properties, there was a sale, which means we have a different ownership. And so if there's a different ownership, that means we have to have someone else sign the right-of-way documents. So the thought was, now that we have six signed, get them signed, get them recorded, because if someone else sells their property, then we would have to be working with the new property owner and getting that signature for the easement.
I would think there'd be a disclosure issue. There's a realtor here, but I think there'd be a disclosure issue no matter what, right?
Not once the easement's recorded. It would be a matter of it would be on the title report, so there wouldn't be a disclosure required.
But if they're selling it and they're in pending negotiations, we should be disclosing
yes.
A project's going on there.
If it's not agreed to and recorded,
right.
Then the property owner would need to know that this negotiated
right.
Is going on. But I don't believe that's the case here. These six property owners are the property owners that will be of record. Right.
Correct. Yeah, this, six owners that have signed the documentation are the current owners. An example, though, we had one that had changed hands. So after we got that signature, we had to throw that one away and then go work with the new private property owner. So it's a matter of kind of getting all this stuff locked up so things that are changing don't affect us.
So I understand, I think, what Lori is concerned about, and a potential solution would be that we can accept these easement agreements, which is a binding contract, but hold off on the final recording until we get the other two, because they don't have to be recorded to be valid. So if there was an issue with the easements on the final two property owners, then we wouldn't necessarily need to re-record or try to invalidate these recorded agreements because we don't have the complete right-of-way. We happen to have the property manager for the city here who may have an opinion on this.
Thank you, Stephanie Hicks, Real Property Manager. As Dirk explained, we did actually have a property that changed ownership, and I think the timing issue, Lori, was because they were in a period of escrow, and so it was going to be 30 days out before the new owner the escrow would be finalized and they would sign. That particular one did time out for us, so we were able to bring it forward. But if that would occur again, then we might be outside of our window from getting all of our right-of-way secured in time for federal lands deadline. So that was our concern. I would have to defer to Dan about whether there's any issue with if we make a motion and we accept it but don't record it, if we'd have to go back and abandon it at a later date.
For purposes of making the motion today, I think that we can defer action on the recording part of it. I can't say for certain on the record, though, what the ramification of that would be with respect to this binding contractual nature of these documents. I think that the agreement and the exchange of consideration would still be validly binding upon the parties. But I think that there would be a defect eventually if the recording is not made, because then it's not a covenant that would be running with the land of those parcels. So there is a timing issue, and I think that there is a, you know, you got to have to finish up that last leg of this marathon, so to speak, to cross that finish line. I don't know with respect to how much time would the city have with respect to deferring that action. That's not anything that I have any expert knowledge on.
If we could take a look at that, because my understanding as a practitioner of over 20 years is that that the deeds don't actually legally ever have to be recorded and they're still valid. So I don't think that both actions have to take place, and I certainly don't think that they both have to take place concurrently. So if we can confirm that, then I think maybe what Lori would be suggesting is that we hold off on the recording of the deeds until we have all eight of them.
I absolutely agree. I can concur with your analysis that they don't have to be done concurrently, those two actions. Like I said, I would actually be happy to defer to your expertise on that, since you've been practicing real property for 20 years.
I'm not an attorney, so don't depend on me.
But no, I'm happy to look into that as a legal issue. But I just, like I said, I just don't want to commit to anything on the record without knowing fully.
So let me be, I'm just struggling why we don't just defer this action till November, and we know that all of the right-of-ways, because let's play the devil's advocate the other way, that somebody does not grant us. One of the other two private property owners says no. Is the entire project then scrapped because we're not able to perfect the road? That's what my concern is I don't want to accept roadway that we can't fix and get us in a different bind.
So we're required to obtain all the right-of-way by December 1st. If we don't do that, then there's going to be a funding issue with regards to federal funding. As in, this project is not ready to go. The funding is going to be pushed to another budget cycle, which means you have congressional issues that you're going to need to deal with. The issue that we talked about as staff and why we wanted to take this to the October meeting was more of a better safe than sorry approach. We need the right of way squared away in order for us to put the project out to bid. And so for example, if we only have six of the private property owners, that means at least we can build on those areas that we need to build on. And maybe we need to redesign or postpone or phase a portion of the project for the areas that we don't have right of way. And so the thought was the more right of way we have, the sooner the better. If for some reason that the project doesn't go forward, I think there's mechanisms in place that would allow us to relinquish those easements and give it back to the private property owners. Yeah, and so right now we're taking a more of a safe, conservative approach in light of trying to make sure that we have everything we need for the project and to secure the federal funding. And so that's why we decided to push forward in October opposed to waiting to November. And then when you start adding the other elements of what happens if you have a property if you have a property that is sold to another person, then you have new owners that you need to deal with. Some of the concern is if it's recorded, some of the questions that I'm trying to play out in my head are, if it's not recorded, then what happens if someone pulls a title report And so these are some of the, it's not a clear, I don't have a clear answer, but we decided to take it in October just because we thought it was safer for the project as a whole.
I can say, too, that I would not be in favor of not accepting the agreements tonight for, I can think of three reasons right off the top of my head, death, divorce, or cold feet, any one of which would allow or cause issues with trying to get these agreements finalized. So my preference would be to accept the agreements that we have on the table, but not record them yet, and then bring the other two back in November, and once we have all of them, we'll record all of them at the same time.
Okay. And maybe I need clarification. I thought we, the city has accepted responsibility for the roadway, so it, these easements are important no matter what. If anything, if it all fell apart, you still need those easements to do maintenance on the road properly within the easements of the where the road is. So if you did fail by one, you still need all of that to the city to maintain the road. Am I right or wrong there?
Each property is going to be a different scenario. Because in some cases, you might have a drainage property that we're having an easement for. In some cases, you might have the roads widening, and so you need a little bit more easement. In some cases, you might have the fact that the road's just not built in the easement right now, and we're moving over. So there's a few possibilities.
So that says what I was trying to say, and maybe I didn't say it right. Then the city really needs to have those anyway, irregardless of the upgrade that may happen in the future, to properly maintain that road system that the city has accepted responsibility for.
In some cases, you're right. In some cases, you could be wrong. Because if there's a drainage improvement that's not built, you don't need to maintain it. So in that case, that wouldn't be correct. But in some cases, you would be correct where, say, for example, the existing roadway does not fall within the existing easement. We're maintaining that roadway anyway. So in that particular case, you'd
be correct. The drainage ones now, there's some that have been built by property owners that are not good. And that if a good storm is going to have the city step in and have to fix that anyway, if to properly maintain the road. So I would think that even the drainage ones are going to become something in the future of a concern with weather events. So that's just a point to move this along and take those while you got them. And I like the dead and the divorce and the cold feet.
And I would just contest that or add that we've actually just about had all three of those in the last few months. So I think that's why we have been very eager to bring these forward and would rather go the alternative route of coming back to you and saying we no longer need these and we're proposing to abandon those easements than missing out on the opportunity.
So we can abandon it right back to them and we can scale the project is what you're telling me.
Correct.
Okay. Again, I just need assurance that we're not, we already have a whole bunch of roads in town that people would love to give us to maintain and do that we can't fix. So,
okay. Thank you.
Any additional questions from the commissioners? Then I'd like to open this up to public comment. Is there anybody that would like to come up and comment on this item? No? Okay, great. And I'd just like to note, Commissioner Smolinski pointed out to me that the motion doesn't actually say anything about the recording, so whoever wants to make the motion, if you can just include that as a staff directive, please.
I move to accept the donation of permanent easements and right-of-way for the roadway and associated improvements needed for the construction and maintenance of Sierra Vista Lane as part of the Federal Lands Access Program grant project from Kathy A. Martin, Kaminsky Fitzgerald Family Trust, 2002 Trust, Bruce A. Miller, Randy W. and Lisa G.F. Jones, Brandon Revocable Trust, and Roger G. and Diana L. Preston, and defer the recording of these until all eight easements have been received.
Second that.
Mr. D.A., do you want the APNs read into the record, or are we okay?
I think we're fine with that motion.
Then we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Okay. That passes unanimously. Thank you all very much for that discussion. now on to item 7 on the agenda, internal communications and administrative matters, non-action items. 7A is the street operations activity report. Are you taking that, Michelle?
I will. Thank you, Chair. I think, Mr. Chair, since you've been gone, we've added a year-to-date column to this report. I want to clarify, this is a fiscal year, year-to-date, and I'll have that added on the next report. But you'll see, you know, the things we've been working on, and this is for the month of August, as you may remember that there is a lag between what we're doing and the data that you're seeing in this report. Primarily, you know, it's the typical things that you see. We've been working on crack sealing, weed abatement, et cetera. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them about this report.
Any questions?
I just want to comment and say thank you very much for making the improvements. I think it will provide just much more valuable data to the public. So thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Then we will move on to item 7B, project status report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to go through this quickly. If you have any specific questions, feel free to stop me in the middle or we can circle back. So the Blue Line ADA sidewalk improvements, the update here is that the project has been completed. We finished all of our checklist items there. So that one's, you won't see it on future reports. Carson City Freeway multi-use path. The pre-construction meeting was held on September 26th. This update said that the construction will begin on October 9th. We have passed that date. Construction has not begun, but the construction team is ready, and I've been assured that construction is going to start later this week or next week. On the Sierra Vista Lane reconstruction project, Mr. Goring provided a detailed report on that, so I won't go into it. Silver Stage Drive reconstruction project. The city received 60% comments from NDOT on September 18th. We're taking those comments as well as others and working on 90% plans for submittal back to NDOT. On our micro seals and slurry seals, I'm not going to go into these individually. I will give you an update that we finished roughly half of the projects on our list, but as you know, it's been getting really cold, too cold to do quality implementation of these ceilings, and so we put our team on hold. Right now, it's weather dependent. They're on standby, and if for some reason we get a cold November, they're ready to go back out. But right now, we're anticipating, unfortunately, that they're going to have to complete that work in the spring. You know, some years it stays warm until November, and some years we get snow. So right now, it's too cold, so we've stopped that work, and the updates in the packet are the latest. So,
are there any issues with the funding if we have to delay to spring?
No issues with funding, and I received confirmation this afternoon that the two contracts for the slurry and the micro, those were on a day's worked contract basis, so we won't have to take a contract extension back to you.
If there's a difference in materials cost between now and spring, then would that come back as a change order, or are they going to just honor the contract?
No, sir. The prices are locked in. I'll move forward to CDBG, North Carson Street improvements. We're on schedule with that. The design has been complete. We're waiting for the winter. Bids were on schedule to go open in January with construction to begin next building season. The battery backup improvements, this has been ongoing. We did receive over $100,000 from NDOT, and we're purchasing the equipment and parts currently. South Carson Street bicycle and pedestrian improvements. As you're aware, the city was awarded a TAP grant, Transportation Alternatives Program federal grant, for $750,000. This funding source is included in that roughly $10 to $11 million that I spoke about earlier related to the Tiger grant. So this is one funding source. It's part of the surveys that are being conducted currently, and we're assembling a design team, so that's moving along with the whole corridor. The Carson City Freeway multi-use path on Colorado Street, the NDOT agreement was approved, and right now we're just waiting on notice to proceed with design. I think that has something to do with the funding source, but we're all on track there. The flashing beacon near the grocery outlet on North Carson Street. Construction is planned to start on October 16th, so next week. We have gotten a few public phone calls on that, so keep your ears open. I've been assured that that will not get pushed. So, and then finally, the South Carson Street resurfacing and complete streets project. This is the same as the Tiger discussion earlier. Survey work's 50% complete, and we're assembling a design. Do you have any questions?
I don't see any. Thank you, Lucia. Item 7C, future agenda items.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Looking forward to November. It seems that we may have a heavy agenda. The federal funding window, application window for the FLAP grants, Federal Lands Access Program, has opened. Those applications are due on December 8th. The city, as public works staff, have been discussing with Parks and Open Space on a suitable project for that application. We haven't made a determination, but we're presumably going to go after that funding source, so you would see that in November should we decide to go after that grant. We've been in discussions with MDOT on potential updates to our Safe Routes to School agreement, and that's because our bicycle pedestrian coordinator, Courtney Bloom, has moved over from Health and Human Services over to Public Works, so it may turn out to be a minor amendment, and if we can get that, it may be in November, if not, probably in December. The Sierra Vista items that Mr. Roy mentioned, those will come to you in November, and that's it.
Thank you, Lucia.
Oh, actually, Mr. Chair, I apologize. In the future, starting next month, I'll add a manager's report, so you guys can start getting some really short snippets of what we're working on. They're informational, and the hope is that long-term these can save some time for doing a big packet for something that may just take 15 seconds. One item I did want to update you on that was going to be on a future item is the snow route map. We've determined that we're not going to make any changes this year from next year. So that's going to be published in the next week or so, but just so you're aware.
Thank you. We're now on item 8 on the agenda, board comments. Do any of the members of the commission have any comments for us tonight? I'll just say I'm happy to be back.
I was going to say welcome back.
Item 9 on the agenda is final public comment. Is there any member of the public that would like to come up for public comment? No takers. All right, we're on item 10. The next meeting is tentatively scheduled for after the Campo meeting on November 8th, 2017, in this very room, the Sierra Room at 851 East Williams Street. We are now on item 11 for possible action adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
We are adjourned. Thank you all for attending and participating.